The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a tough European night for Rangers. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's men will need to overturn a 2-0 deficit if they're to make it to the Champions League after defeat in Belgium. Dundee United are preparing for their European adventure by announcing the signing of former St Mirren man Jamie McGrath. And could Martin Boyle be on his way back to Hibs? I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans.
There is one positive to come out of last night's game in Belgium for Rangers, and that is that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's side are still in the competition. There was the potential for disaster last night against the USG because Rangers' performance was dire. And I know that the goalkeeper, John McLaughlin, will be pilloried for the first goal lost. However, he help keep them in the competition, and they at least now have Ibrox on Tuesday and can still dream of playing PSV or Monaco.
Yeah, Hugh uses the word dire. Very flat. Watched the game last night. Sluggish, you know, lack of creativity. And very surprising, you know, given the importance of the game. But Rangers really have to improve big time. It goes without saying, really. But 2-0. You know, they've left themselves a right bit of work to do at Ibrox next week.
Dire,
says Hugh Keevans. But what did you make of it? 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, I know for a fact you've got something to get off your chest after last night. You simply must. So let's hear from you. Where did it go wrong? Can it still be overturned? Ibrox has been a pretty special place in Europe in the last couple of seasons. Can it still be overturned? What about the team selection, the personnel, the formation, the big moments, that penalty that you got against you? There is so much to get through from last night's game. So please do pick up the phone right now. Don't hang around. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And there was us, Hugh, just settling in after a dramatic opening weekend in the Premiership. Then Europe comes along with a bang. That's why this opening, I mean, it's only the 3rd of August, for goodness sake, but this opening period of the season is so important.
Well, you know, you could see Giovanni van Bronckhorst last night, not a happy man, and actually quoted as saying that Rangers will have no chance of going through to the next stage of the competition if they play anything like they played last night when the return leg takes place at Ibrox on Tuesday. The flat performance that Simon speaks of, I just don't understand. This is the Champions League you're talking about. The not only the opportunity to make tens of millions of pounds, but to have those special nights that Celtic already have in the bag, because by virtue of winning the league title last season, they're in the group stages. So what Rangers were playing at last night, only the callers can let us know.
Well, the nature of football in this city, as you well know, Simon, actually any performance and result like that in any competition would probably get some criticism. But we know how important these Champions League qualifiers have become for our team, so that's what makes it even sorer for the Rangers fans. And we'll find out when they phone, but possibly the slightly unexpected nature of it. I mean, this is a side that reached a European final a couple of months ago.
Well, there you go. You mentioned that. That's what I was about to say. Especially on the way they dealt with European ties towards the end of last season. You know, moving through the rounds and getting to the final. You look at the front three, if you like, last night. All newbies. I don't think any really stuck out. You've got a familiar midfield three. But, you know, people will say it was the second game of the season, you know. When you're in Champions League qualifiers, you have to hit the ground running. Mm. We've seen it time and time again with Celtic and Rangers over the years. You have to hit the ground running. And yeah, you can say the second goal was very harsh, the penalty. But they've given it, as Hugh said there, John McLaughlin's made a couple of good saves. It could have been three or four at one stage. So they're maybe thankful it's 2-0, but the performance levels have to come up.
Just to set the scene before we go any further, Hugh, because I'm absolutely certain that's the story that will dominate tonight. But there's a lot going on. You look at Dundee United about to get into their European campaign. They've signed Jamie McGrath. St Mirren fans loved his work up here. What an interesting development it would be if Martin Boyle came back to Hibs. On last night's show, we're talking about Celtic. You know, guys like James McCarthy, for instance. Is it time that he heads off and tries to find more regular football elsewhere? So yes, Rangers will dominate, no doubt, tonight, but there's a lot happening.
Dundee United have had a good window. The fact that they got Dylan Levitt on a permanent deal from Manchester United was good. Jamie McGrath will be a terrific signing if Boyle goes back to Hibs. I mean, he obviously won't play against Hearts at the weekend because he's not had a proper pre-season. It'll be a while. But Martin Boyle has been missed big time by Hibs, so the fans there would be delighted. I spoke to the Hibby and the family today, and he's really looking forward to the prospect of Boyle coming back because, quite simply, Hibs lack sharpness up front.
What he hasn't mentioned is that he only spoke to the Hibby and the family because he accidentally deleted his full email account, and the Hibby and the family is good with IT, so he had to come down and fix it. And what was your favourite stat fact of the day? How old does it make you feel? What was it?
26 years ago, Simon Donnelly,
to the day,
scored in a 2-2 draw against Sporting Lisbon at Celtic Park, and the other goal scorer was George Cadet.
26 years ago.
Incredible, wasn't it? Somebody else pointed that out to me. Do you know where we went straight after that game?
The Victorious.
Loch Lomond to watch Oasis.
I saw that was the anniversary of that, so that makes sense.
What a weekend.
And you love your music as well.
Loved that
weekend. You probably loved Oasis more than scoring the goal.
Well, we scored the goal, did my job, and then there was a team bus straight down to Loch Lomond.
Wow. I was six at the time. Don't let that ruin your night, but I was only six at the time anyway.
I interviewed Noel Gallagher at Celtic Park before an old film game. There you are.
Right, now we're really getting distracted. 01419511025. Let's dive straight in with Tony, who's a Rangers fan, Motherwell. I mean, Hugh Keevans has called it dire. Tony, I don't know how you felt about it. How would you sum it up?
I think dire's been a bit kind of soft on us. I thought we were absolutely disgusting last night. I mean, we even started, I said to the boys in my work, I said, that is the wrong team. We're starting off with three defensive mids in your midfield. You had Tillman on the left who plays through the middle, so his first stop when he gets the ball is to drive through the middle. There was just nothing. I was sitting thinking to myself, right, now we're going to kick on the second half, now we're going to kick on, and there was just nothing, there was absolutely nothing. All I can say on the game is, thank God there's two legs in the tie, because there's no way we can play as bad again as what we did.
I must admit, disgusting was not the word that I expected, but I'm fine with it, Hugh. Tony got his sort of frustrations across And you can, I think it's understandable. I don't think there will be many Rangers fans disagreeing totally with Tony's overall feeling.
You had defensive uncertainty at Livingston at the weekend, resulting in Joe Nubley's terrific goal for Livy. And then you had more defensive uncertainty last night, leading to the first goal for USG. Apart from that, up front, Colak, I heard them described by one former Rangers player as a waste of time. Now, he's only had two games, but you're harshly judged, as Simon knows. In this city, you are harshly and quickly judged. There was just nothing about Rangers last night that was impressive, and Tony could see that with his own eyes.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get to VAR, the penalty decision, you know, various other things, the goal, the first goal that Rangers lost, Simon. But the thing that jumps out for Tony is the team selection, the personnel, the shape. What did you make of it? What jumped out for you?
What I looked at, or what I thought as the game was developing, you know, the goal behind against Livingston at the weekend, and it took somebody like Scott Arfield to come off the bench, somebody who's been tried and tested and relied upon at Rangers over the years, to come and kind of lift it and turn it. And I just thought as the game was going on, you know, he was on the bench, I thought we might have seen him featured at some point because he had such a positive impact at the weekend. The new guys, people take different lengths of time to settle into clubs, but unfortunately the position Rangers are in the qualifiers, you're not allowed that time. You're not allowed it. I mean, I look back to last year with Celtic, Jackie Marcus, he was injured at the beginning, but he took a bit of time and then started to really hit form the turn of the year. But the big guy, Colak, he doesn't have that time just now because of the situation Rangers are in. And they've left themselves, as I say, a major bit of work to be done next week.
Tony, if you're talking about the players that were picked or the way that they were set out, I mean, that stuff always comes back on the manager, clearly. Again, though, it's a couple of months since this guy was being heralded for some tactical brilliance in Europe, you know, that got you to the Europa League final. So how much did the manager get it wrong last night?
100%. As I said, before the game even started, I said that it's the wrong team to play. I don't understand that. I mean, there was nobody to drive the ball forward from the middle. And as Simon said, as the game was going on, you were screaming out for a Lawrence or an Arfield or somebody attacking to come on. And it just stayed the same and stayed the same. And then, I mean, Barisic has been very poor for the start of the season, and even pre-season he was poor. Last night in Livingston, all the problems have come down the left-hand side. I mean, when you're having the boy Tillman on the left and he's driving in inside, there's nobody on the left. I mean, the amount of times Conor Goldson had the ball and he was looking for his diagonal and there was nobody there. I just think Rangers really need to have a think about themselves, because we've got a very, very uphill task next week.
And Hugh, look, we've been through this many times in this country. In some ways, the games that can make or break your season come in July and August. It's just a problem that Celtic and Rangers need to negotiate, unless you get what we've got this season and you get some sort of automatic entry. So as Tony says, next week becomes massive, doesn't it?
I go back to what Ange Postecoglou said at the weekend, that there was I standing here with you in the studio saying that Celtic weren't at it, but they'll grow into the season. And then at full time, Ange Postecoglou wasn't having it. The season has started, he said. And that's what Tony and the Rangers supporters are expecting of the Rangers players. Do it have time to bed in or do anything else. They have to react now. But personal opinion, I think it's a bit early for pressing panic buttons about next Tuesday. I will just take that game in isolation. I know that Ibrox last season on the road to the final was a big factor, and it will be a big factor again on Tuesday night. Now, you're talking about a Belgian team whose last European tie was 58 years ago. They do not know what's going to hit them on Tuesday night.
Yeah, because when we always talk about budgets and so on and how difficult it can be for our clubs when they go into Europe, but that wouldn't be an example of that. Rangers were obviously are the favourites this tie.
Yeah, without doubt. If Rangers fail to get through, there'll be more than Tony calling them disgusting.
Disgusting. It's a strong start, Tony. I'll give you that. Thank you very much, Tony and Motherwell. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet as well. Keep it clean. Let us know what you made of the game, the performance, the talking points last night. There is a lot to get through. Let's go with Scott and Govan. What was the main issue for you last night, Scott?
Hi, Gordon, Simon, Hugh.
Hello.
Before I get to that, can I just pass on my condolences to John Hughes' family?
Yeah, well said, yep. Hugh, I know you'll be keen to.
Yeah, first chance I've had to say something about Big John since his sad death. He was part of my childhood. You know, he signed for Celtic in 1959, was in the team by 1960. And the only way I can sum him up quickly, he had the physique of a heavyweight boxer and he had the feet of a tap dancer. He was delicacy and destruction. He was a terrific player.
Well, I like that. You summed that up nicely. Scott, thanks for bringing that up. I think that's important. And feel free to let loose then on the game last night.
I'm letting loose on Big McLaughlin. He definitely was to blame for the first goal. He's kept us in it. But in my opinion, and I've only been going to Ibrox since 1983, so we've had a lot of good keepers, like, say Woods, right through, Gorham, Ken Clost, a lot. And he's just no one of them. And if you ask a Celtic fan, if you ask Simon there, they've really hated us for having good class number ones, and he's no one of them. So I don't know where we go for here.
Should Alan McGregor have played last night? That's the immediate, you know, first question.
Well, why would he stay for another year if he didn't want to be number one? And according to Gio, he's saying that McLaughlin is going to be in the goal on Tuesday. So why would you want to stay to be a number two?
But I must admit, I didn't expect this debate to sort of blow up so quickly.
Yeah.
And you knew it was there. If the goalkeeping situation plays out the way Rangers had, as soon as whatever one of them was in and made a mistake, we were going to get this. But, you know, I thought it would be at least a week into the new season.
Alan McGregor at the age of 40 is not in a position to be looking for guarantees of being the number one pick, and he's not in a position to be looking for promises about anything.
Do you understand the McGregor would have saved that narrative that forms last night, or is that
not really?
Is that unfair?
Not really, because I remember the calls last season, people who were questioning Alan McGregor for a variety of mistakes, some of which cost Rangers points, both at Ibrox and on the road. I also understand that the Rangers fans see McGregor as the better shot stopper of the two, and I think they're correct. And McLaughlin's more of the modern day goalkeeper, good with the ball at his feet. However, to be fair, Scott said it himself. The first goal, McLaughlin has got to take his share of the blame. But thereafter, you can't just dismiss the saves that he made that prevented it from being a disastrous night.
How bad was that mistake, Simon? When I was heading home, and I was following Twitter, Gordon Deal was driving before anyone thinks, I was on my phone at the wheel, and saw the way people were talking about it, I was expecting a bit more of a howler.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that John McLaughlin is not to take some part of the blame, and maybe that's just me. Maybe I'd built it up in my head, but how big a mistake was it? It clearly does take a nick in front of him, but it does go through him.
Yeah, I think he'll think himself, right, and I think most keepers will feel he should have done better.
Okay.
He should have saved it. But I wouldn't describe it as a howler or a huge mistake. He should have done better. We can stand here all night and argue would Alan McGregor have saved it. What I'm surprised that Alan McGregor hasn't started the season for Rangers. I would have had him as Rangers number one still. And I think Gio said last night, we don't have the number one. We have two good goalkeepers. But I'm surprised McGregor hasn't played. And obviously when things like that happened last night, it's the knee-jerk reaction.
Well, it's inevitable,
isn't it?
It's inevitable. If Joe Hart lets that exact goal in on Saturday, we're not getting calls to say that Benjamin Seagrass should play.
Yeah.
But because of the way that...
I think you watch it. When I'm watching the game and you get the replay and there's a slight deflection on it, that makes it a wee bit more of a difficult one. But it's still close to his body. There's a wee bit of power behind it. But I think he should save it.
Scott, are you letting him off the hook at all, given that he made some decent stops after that, or not so sympathetic?
No, I'm not so sympathetic, no, because what McGregor is really good at is when they're starting for the back, McGregor is really good at that. McLaughlin, isn't he? And in my opinion, and probably a lot of Rangers fans, Gio says, right, he hasn't got a number one, but who's the better keeper? overall just now, and I think it's McGregor.
He must think it's McLaughlin then, yeah. As it stands. We said this, it was interesting when the team was named last night, because we went back to last season. John McLaughlin actually played the first league game last season. Right. Alan McGregor came in for the European game. Mm-hmm. It went back to John McLaughlin domestically. And then after a couple of weeks, it was Alan McGregor and it carried on. But if John McLaughlin plays the first league game and first Champions League qualifier, that sounds a bit like he's number one, does it not?
If he plays on Tuesday against the USG at Ibrox, then he is to be considered the number one. Mm. If anything goes wrong in the night, he's no longer the number one.
I mean, I've now seen, and look, we're here until 8 o'clock, so maybe people can elaborate on this on the phones or on Twitter. I've even seen Simon, some people, Rangers fans, saying neither of them should be number one. Mm. McGregor's ageing, McLaughlin's not up to it, and we should have signed someone else, or we should sign someone else. Yeah. But you still think the answer is there and he's Alan McGregor?
I still think he's got another season in him, Alan. I do. I think he made a couple of mistakes last year, but I think because he was so good before, these mistakes stick out more. I think he's still the number one for Rangers. But what I would say to Scott is, I don't think the goalkeeping situation last night was the reason that they get beat. You know, they still had plenty of time to go and score goals in that game. They just looked devoid of ideas, or it was lacklustre from Rangers last night.
Scott, quickly before the travel, if you can, will Rangers turn this round next week?
I would like to think they would. I think they would, but I said that last year against Malmo. So I'm hoping we will turn it
around. We'll find out. Thank you very much, Scott and Govan. What do you think out there, Rangers fans? What did you make of it? Do you disagree with anything that you're hearing? What about the big talking points, that VAR call? Let us know. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The inquest into Rangers' defeat last night is well underway in the company of Simon Donnelly, Hugh Keevans, and more importantly, you on the phones. First caller described it as disgusting. That set the tone at 6:05. I don't know, maybe you're a bit more gentle on your team's performance last night, or maybe even worse, maybe you've got other things on your mind. I don't think we've discussed the penalty yet. So whatever it is, pick up the phone or send me a tweet. We've got a lot. Kenny Vine says Dyer was correct from Hugh. First week of the season, you're agreeing with Hugh Keevans, Kenny. I don't know how that makes you feel. The penalty aside, we deserve to lose, and the score did not flatter USG. Brian says Gio shouldn't have let Balogun go. Mistake by the club. Interesting take on that, given that the defence has been getting a bit of stick over the last couple of days. And Edward Aitken says Rangers lacked any penetration, too many square passes, midfield carved open like a tin of sardines. We don't know how good the back three. They were never their back three are. They were never tested. Early goal on Tuesday is essential. What do you think? Let us know. Reese is in air. What was your main conclusion from last night, Reese?
Just a horrific performance. No, I never wasn't. Definitely was not expecting to see that. First of all, good evening to yourself, you and Simon.
Hi.
Hope you are well.
Thank you.
No, horrific performance. Not what I was expecting from my Rangers team at all last night. A couple of points. I'm seeing a lot of things on social media today, you know, about Antonio Colak, you know, he never get the service. You know, Simon will be able to tell me this. You know, I hate it when folks say he never get the service. I never seen him screaming for any service. I never seen him once turning around and telling the midfielders where he wanted it. If it was coming short, if it was going long, you know, it was just kind of, it was namby-pamby up there last night, to be honest with you. It never affected the game at all. It was very much the same at Livingston. I don't want to sound overly critical, right, but Rabi Matondo, I mean, he had a touch like a trampoline last night at some points. I think he was just getting into Tavernier's road. I worry where goals are going to come from in this Rangers team at the minute, because I hear people talking about Matondo's pace. You know, pace is absolutely useless when there's 11 men behind a ball in league games. Where is he going to use this pace? You know, he certainly wasn't able to use it last night. He never even tried to use it last night. I see people getting John McLaughlin stick. You know, John McLaughlin knows he should have done better with that shot. But, you know, it was a team performance last night. I feel sorry for the midfielders, because there was nobody willing to make runs. There was nobody trying to run the channels. There was nobody drawing out empty out of defence. I just never seen enough of the Rangers team up front last night, and it was disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly had personnel issues there. That we know the Morelos situation is ongoing, but due to end soon. There was no Ryan Kent for this one. But this is the point. That's why Colak's there. That's why Matondo's there. It's supposed to be that they are capable, you know, when called upon.
On the one hand, you could say Alfredo Morelos, top European goal scorer in Rangers history. Ryan Kent, the driving force behind the run to Seville for the European final last season. However, I'm sorry, but they were out because of injury, and others have to step up to the plate, and they did not, you know. But we live in a world here of retrospective criticism and premature judgments. At the weekend, judgments were made about defenders at Rangers. Conor Goldson had to come out and defend John Souter. As I said to you, one Rangers player, ex-Rangers player last night described Colak as a waste of time. But we have to give them a chance. Last night was poor, extremely poor. They have their own redemption in their hands, and they have to take it with both hands, or there'll be no point in me talking about premature judgments. I'll be trampled.
What's the take from you then, Simon, on, you know, Colak and that debate we have about not getting service but sort of making things for yourself and, you know, and being involved? What did you make of him?
I thought the front three, they didn't impress me. They didn't impress me. But we're in game two. I've come back for the holiday, and the Colak guy's been described to me as a big physical centre forward like Jackie Marcus. Matondo, we've touched on his pace. If you don't know how to use the pace, if you're not clever enough to use the pace, you know, it's worthless. You could be sprinting about, you know, not affecting the game at all. But these guys, it would be harsh of me to say these guys have been brought in by Gio. So Tillman looks as if there's a player there. You know, he's been at Bayern Munich, he's got a good pedigree there. As Hugh says, they have to be given time, but unfortunately, we've got the Champions League qualifiers here for Rangers. They don't have the time. But they don't have Morelos there just now. Ryan Kent was out. But the three lads, and I thought the midfield was very safe. I thought they were playing, it was very slow. They were allowing people to get back in, even when they got into key areas. They just weren't at it, Rangers, for whatever reason. I described it as a flat performance. And I was very surprised. Even when they go a goal down, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of time there in the game to go and put yourself against them.
If anything, it looked like getting worse.
It did. And McLaughlin makes a couple of really important saves towards the end. But the three guys, Matondo and Colak, did not impress me last night. But it's game two.
Reece, what did you make of the midfield, I suppose, the back three as well, and the way things were set up? Simon says it was all a bit safe. How did you feel it went?
It was safe, and, you know, I honestly think Gio's got this thing where he likes to suss teams out in the first game and then get them in the second game, but that's just not going to cut it. You know, there wasn't anything wrong with the way the team was set up. I didn't think there was anything wrong with the tactics, because I've seen that a million times before in the way to Europa League. You know, John Lundstrom covering James Tavernier when he goes forward. The only thing is, I thought Matondo got in Tavernier's road a lot last night. I know Tavernier's kind of had the run of that right flank to himself. Another point was, Glenn Kamara's been played out of position. And I don't know if Rangers fans have noticed this, but, you know, when Steven Gerrard really had that Rangers team kicking, Glenn Kamara played on the left side, midfield three, and he covered Borna Barisic, and he had that position down to a tee. That was his own position. You know, Gio's come in, obviously he's changed a couple of things about, but, you know, we've had a lot of danger coming down that left-hand side, and I just wonder if you could tweak that back and put Kamara back in there. You've got Lundstrom covering the right-hand side, you've got Kamara covering the left-hand side. To me, it makes perfect sense, but obviously, I'm no Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He obviously knows what he's doing. That's just my opinion on the midfield. You know, I think there's a couple of things that could be tweaked in there.
It's the when you get a result of that size and shock, if you like, Hugh. A lot goes into it, and in the eyes of the fans. We're not even halfway through the show, and, you know, we've covered off personnel selection, the way they've been lined up, goalkeeping errors. We've not got to the penalty yet, so there's a lot that's angering the Rangers fans. What was it? We've gone from disgusting to horrific. It was you that kicked it off with dire. So it's a not.
These are direct, sometimes indirect criticisms of the manager. The fans so far on the programme tonight have criticised the team selection. They've criticised those who were not brought on, such as Scott Arfield. They've criticised the shape. So all of that is down to the manager.
Thank you very much to Reece in Ayr at 01419511025. We've got, is it Carolyn or Caroline? Remind me. Carolyn in Maryhill. Sorry, my apologies. Just didn't want to mispronounce it. What did you make of last night then? What about that penalty? Because we've not got round to that yet.
Good evening, panel. First and foremost, I can't believe I'm watching the same team as I was on the journey to Seville. And I just can't believe the transformation of the team. So, there's one or two quick things I'll go through. One, the penalty, I thought that was a really poor decision. The ball played him. It ricocheted off onto Goulson. It's actually played him. How can he possibly get his arm or his body, the way his body was twisted? I just thought it was a poor decision. I know they've got the, you know, you've got the TV that can go and check and all the VAR and all that. I just thought that was poor. Overall, I thought Kamara was absolutely shocking. I thought his role as a midfield player was terrible. Overall, the whole team disappointed me. I felt from the back three right through the whole team. I don't think there was anybody firing in four cylinders last night. They weren't hungry for the game. I noticed this. I've played a lot of football. I played left mid. I was always like a wing back in my days. And I always remember I used to run that touchline. You miss Kent because he's good at it as well, running the channels up and down. There seemed to be, you know, like spaces and gaps, and there was just nothing. They were totally flat. I just think, and I'm going to say it right now, and I've said it for day one since Gio signed with Rangers as manager. I've never been a lover of Gio in Europe there. That was mostly Gerrard's team he went with to the final. Now, this is his time to shine. If he shines and brings it back and like gets the support back on him, I don't know. I think he's.
Carolyn disappeared. I didn't do anything. She didn't say anything untoward. Okay. Don't blame me. We'll get her back in a second.
Let's take 2 points.
Let's go penalty first, Hugh.
Yeah, yeah.
How aggrieved should Rangers fans be feeling tonight?
They should be shocked because it was a nonsensical decision. VAR will drive this country potty. There is no other way of looking at it. Potty. Because if you can look at that on the screen and give a penalty, then VAR is supposed to clarify and undo mistakes. It did neither last night. It was a ridiculous decision.
Maybe it's a reminder to people who every Monday claim that our league would have fixed all these mistakes if we had VAR at the weekend. Anyway, that's just a separate
with
point.
With regard to point two about the manager, I think Carolyn's criticism is over the top because the man did take on the Steven Gerrard team and he took them all the way past the Leipzigs and the Dortmunds and all the rest of it to the final. So I think that's an overly harsh criticism of Van Bronckhorst.
Are you in the same boat, Simon? How bad was the penalty decision?
I'm baffled with the penalty.
Really?
I watched it and he got booked as well, goals.
That's true.
And I'm thinking, I'm not entirely sure with the letter of the law now that I asked you before we came on the show. What is the letter of the law?
Well, this is the thing, because sometimes we sort of kind of hide behind that, don't we? Oh, I mean, I can't believe it. You know, I don't know what the law is now.
But
the strange thing about this is, because there's a couple of different things to consider. Quite often we see penalties given for handball and you think, my goodness, that is extremely harsh. What is happening to the handball? But you look at the rule and you think, well, yeah, fair enough. But last night that doesn't even really come into effect. Because there is a piece of guidance in the handball law which states that there are exceptions, e.g. the player's arm is already extended when there is no expectation of the ball coming at or near the player from a teammate.
Yeah.
Now that's exactly what happened. So for the referee and his fellow officials to have time to then
go and look at it,
presumably know that rule, you would like to think, have time, have a look, And not sort of put those two together, Hugh. I don't know. I'm struggling to understand how that's happened.
From October or November, whenever it comes in here, this programme will need to be extended from 6 until 10 to deal with the fallout that will come. I can only say how you can look at that on the screen, see the very obvious ricochet off one player onto another who has no idea where the ball is going to go. How you can look at that and give a penalty is beyond me and any other rational thinking person.
It's interesting which way you want to spin it, because normally that would be the first subject that someone would phone in about. We would be getting inundated, but Rangers fans seem more annoyed at the performance
first. Of the performance, Gordon.
However, you still need things to go your way. So you can't just dismiss it and say, oh, well, Rangers, no, were rubbish anyway.
Yeah.
It could be a massive moment in the tie.
It could be. And I think it was a mistake. I think the penalty shouldn't have been given. But I think with the callers that have already phoned in, as you've touched on yourself there, it's the nature of the performance. Mm-hmm. And again, hindsight, wonderful thing. But the three midfielders, very safe. They brought the boy Lawrence into to Rangers, who I quite liked at Derby. A kind of link between the midfield and the attack. Would the game have suited him last night? You know, he started at the weekend on living the plastic pitch where it's difficult at the best of times. And the other one, I thought, Arfield, when it's not going well, he's won it.
He's got a knack, doesn't
he? He rolls his sleeves up and he gets people working round about him. He has a positive effect, especially after nicking a goal at the weekend. But the front three did not offer much at all.
Carolyn, we lost you, but we've got you back. Just briefly then to sort of finish off, can Rangers overturn it? That's obviously the big question.
Well, I think there's going to have to be a few changes and look at a few players about their performance. You know, I was at the Livy game at the weekend and it was the same scenario as well with Buller and Suter, well off the mark as well. And that is a double. He just ran ragged, the defence. So I would like to see them turning about, hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm a wee bit kind of nervous about the now. We'll wait and see what happens when it comes Tuesday, then I'll be there and we'll see what happens.
Brilliant, thank you very much. That was Carolyn and Mary Hill, 01419511025. This is a great time to call because we're going to get some travel news, and that means you could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is in the building, Simon Donnelly's next to him, and they're both waiting for you to get in touch with your take on the day's big football talking points. Clearly, the Rangers result last night is dominating things, but if you've got something else on your mind and you want to change the subject altogether, we're here for you. 0141 951 1025. Let's go to Scott, who's a Rangers fan from Cumbernauld. Are you as downbeat as your fellow Rangers fan, Scott, or have you got a more positive spin on things?
Well, it wasn't a great performance, I'll give you that. And obviously, it's no great getting into a second leg 2-0 down. But I think I've got to remember last year when we played both Braga and Leipzig. We were 1-0 down for the first leg against the two teams. They're far, far better teams than this team is. So it was dead easy to get behind the team and go, well, we'll see what happens at Ibrox. Get an early goal, which we did, I think, against Braga, 2 minutes, or Leipzig. I'm sure it was Braga. Got an early goal and then everybody's optimistic. It's dead easy to get downbeat. We're two games into the season with all these new guys that are new to Rangers, new to the stadium and everything. If you want, get McGregor back, Davis, Arfield, get a bit of the leadership that is at Ibrox already, get them in for the game. But I don't think the tie is over at 2-0. I think if we get an early goal, the crowd gets behind them, I think we can go through.
Yeah, I don't think, that's why I said earlier on, a bit early for pressing panic buttons here. We live in this world, as I say, in this part of the world where you've got retrospective criticism and premature judgments. And of course it's not over. Far from over. I'm not going to tell you what I think will happen next Tuesday because I'll get the blame if it doesn't happen.
You get it wrong anyway.
Yeah, but it's not over. That's what I would say.
Yeah, Simon? I agree with Scott. We watched time and time again last year how Rangers performed really well at Ibrox, with the home support behind them. And I think this one will be no different. It's not a disaster, but just the nature of yesterday's performance, they've got a game against Kilmarnock at the weekend. They need to improve. They need to improve and they need to improve quick. But the tie is not over. It's just made it, with the two-goal deficit, it's made it hard work next week. They need to be on it.
So you think this is where that Europa League run and the confidence that you should get from that, Scott, do you think this is where it kicks in?
It's got to be. You can't just enjoy all the success we had last season in the Europa League and then think, oh, we're up against this smaller Belgium team, we're 2-0 down, that's it, done and dusted. At the end of the day, if we beat them, we're up against obviously Monaco or PSV, which is going to be a massive, massive tie at Ibrox and then possibly Champions League group stage. You've got to get behind them. At the end of the day, it is only two games in. We're starting with quite a number of fresh players. We've lost a couple. Just get behind them, see what happens. At the end of the day, if we get an early goal, we're more than capable of beating them.
I think for fans, every game is a fresh page. They take one game at a time. They were happy that Rangers came back from being a goal down against Livingston, and happy in the manner in which they got all 3 points. And then they were unhappy with the manner in which they got nowhere last night. Come Tuesday, it'll be a different story. There will be optimism, there'll be determination to see what the fans can do to get Rangers over the line. But it's a fan's prerogative to take one game at a time. Some are good, some are bad.
What was bad in particular last night, Scott?
I don't think there was much good. I just didn't feel there was any real positives at all to take from it. I think they're blaming McLaughlin thing. I don't think that's right. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, he's only, you know, his only shots going in against him because the team out front's letting, you know, the shots come in. The defenders aren't defending properly. I think all in all, it just didn't look good. I think some of the new players, if that's their level, then they're no more than squad players. They're no first team. But hopefully it's just, it's quite a big move for them. They're just settling in, and hopefully it gets better. You know, some of the best players we've had in our history have struggled early doors and came round. So hopefully it's just a wee couple of games to get them up to speed and kind of knock on for there.
I suppose that the memory of last season is there, Hugh, in both respects. Scott wants it to be the good bits, the run to the Europa League final. That's where you take the confidence from. And the previous caller said something about, you know, Malmo all over again, where you think that, oh well, don't worry, we've got the second leg at Ibrox, and it didn't happen. Now, I would accept that Scott's examples are more recently, and they've got Giovanni van Bronckhorst's slant on things that got them to the Europa League final. So that's the two avenues, because this time last year we were having a similar conversation, and when Malmo came, it then didn't go to plan back at Ibrox.
Well, as Simon said earlier, it's some game in this country. 68 days ago, Rangers were in a European final, and now fans are on questioning this, that and the other.
You know someone out there is going to count and make sure it is exactly 68 days, so I'm going to have to take your word for it.
Well, you take my word.
Right, good.
But you've got the rollover effect now. You know, eventually Rangers got there against Livingston. At no stage did Rangers get there against USG. Now it's Kilmarnock at Ibrox. Rangers have to obviously get a win, and they have to look sharper, keener and livelier. And then we roll over to Tuesday and they return against the Belgian side. So it's what you have to live with. Celtic didn't please Ange Postecoglou altogether against Aberdeen on Sunday. They have to impress Ange Postecoglou with a better performance at Dingwall on Saturday. That's the way the cookie crumbles here.
Scott, how aggrieved do you feel about the penalty?
It's one of these things, isn't it? I mean, it isn't a penalty. Goldson's not going in there to stop the ball progressing, but it's one of these things. I'm sure there's times where we've been a wee bit fortunate and you've just got to kind of take these. It's difficult because it's such a big money tie, and you're only progressing onto the next round, but it's just one of these things. There's no point in dwelling on it because it's only going to affect you next week. Just go on with it and just see what we can do at Ibrox. 50,000 at Ibrox, absolutely singing their heart out. That team, they're no use to that. Surely we can put two past them early doors and then go on and progress 3 and 4. I think so.
That would certainly be the plan. You never know, maybe by then Alfredo Morelos takes part as well, Simon. I assume Ryan Kent isn't too far away either, so these things could all be bit of a shot in the arm.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what side Gio puts out of the weekend. I was just looking as Scott was talking there, so there was 5 changes last night, and it obviously didn't really work. I think one of them was forced. I think Suter picked up an injury, but the other ones were
Kent as well didn't travel.
Sorry, Kent. So 5 changes. It'll be interesting to see if guys like, you know, I think you started with Wright at the weekend, Arfield, guys who have been given, you know, important roles, right, in particular in the European run, albeit a wee bit by default because Morelos was out, but he still showed faith to play the lad. So it'll be interesting to see what they go with at the weekend. But Hugh's right, you don't, I mean, 15, 20 minutes into the game at the weekend, if they're there'll be grumblings there. You have to handle that pressure, win that game, and go into Tuesday night on a high.
The other thing, Hugh, I feel, you know, at this stage of the season, when you're going that kind of week to week, you don't have a lot to base your opinions on. You just live from one game to the next. Is the way that football can burst your bubble. I mean, up until 7, half 7, 8 o'clock last night, the general feeling we were getting from the Rangers fans is, well, you know, I think Matondo's going to be a real player. Really looking forward to seeing him. Missed out against Livy. Good, he's in from the start. He's electric. Now, you know, now that bubble's burst.
Yeah.
So it's about, I guess, reinflating it at the weekend.
We are the knee-jerk reaction capital of the world.
It is understandable, isn't it? Because you're not talking about Conor Goldson or James Tavernier, who, if they've had a bad game last night, they've had 300 other good ones or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to judge the new signings, you're on the roller coaster with them. Know,
I never like telling people who pay to get in how to support. If they react badly and it's early on, well, they paid their money.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thank you very much to Scott. 01419511025 for the next few minutes is all about Beat the Pundit. Let's see what you've got for us. It's been quite the week. Did you hear last night?
Yeah, I did.
Guy came on, said, I want to get a hold of Mark Wilson. I'm gonna do to him what Daniel Kuzan did and all the rest of it. And Mark, his face went even redder than normal. He said, give me him, was the quote. I've never seen Mark so animated. And Mark backed it up with a victory. So these two are much more placid in nature, I'm sure you'll agree. But if you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, you need to call before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025, and you could be up next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That was a quick first hour. Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans are here. No prizes for guessing what the main talking point is tonight. Rangers, disappointing evening in Belgium. We did finish on a slightly more positive note, looking ahead to next week. Any reason why Rangers can't overturn it? But there is still a lot out there, I'm sure, whether it's the penalty, the goalkeeping situation, the performances of other individuals last night. We are here for you, Rangers fans. And of course, if you want to change the subject onto your own team, you're more than welcome to do that as well. 0141 951 1025, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's see what tonight's got in store. Is it 2-0 to the Pundits this week? Roger Hanna was outstanding on Monday. Mark Wilson not too bad last night as well. So let's see if we can get a signed ball sent. Oh, producer Callum will be furious. Let me pay a bit extra for this. There's a boundary charge because Tony is in Bolton. Is that right, Tony?
That's correct, pal. Formerly the Paisley, now in Bolton, yeah.
There we are. Right, well, listen, that we can certainly make that happen. If you win the ball, we'll send it down to you. We'll toss the coin. If it's heads, you will play Hugh Keevans. If it's tails, it's Simon Donnelly. Producer Callum, the top tosser. And he says it's heads, Hugh Keevans, against Tony in Bolton, formerly of Paisley.
You're a wanderer.
I see what you did there. Right, Hugh, let's give you some Clyde 2 to listen to so that he can't hear us. It's just you and I now, Tony. 30 seconds. Answer as many questions if you can, and you're more than welcome to pass if you don't know, okay?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's go for it. I like your attitude. 30 seconds on the clock, and it starts now. Who's the only Argentinian currently signed for a Scottish Premiership club?
Pass.
Which European side did Arthur Newman leave to join Rangers?
Sorry, repeat that.
Which European club did Arthur Newman leave to join Rangers?
Ajax.
Which former Motherwell player is now St Mirren's chief operating officer?
Pass.
Martin Boyle currently plays football for a club in which country?
Saudi Arabia.
Name either Scottish club Jim Leighton played for between his two Aberdeen spells.
Hibs.
Which Scottish Premiership side does Jamie Murphy currently play for?
St Mirren.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Same set of questions. You ready?
Okay.
Let's go. Name the only Argentinian currently signed for a Scottish Premiership club.
Burnaby.
Which European side did Arthur Newman leave to join Rangers?
PSV.
Which former Motherwell player is now the St Mirren chief operating officer?
Keith Lasley.
Martin Boyle currently plays football for a club in which country?
Saudi Arabia.
Name either Scottish club that Jim Leighton played for between his Aberdeen spells.
Hibs.
And which Scottish Premiership side does Jamie Murphy play for?
Kilmarnock.
Okay, what do you think, Tony?
I think he's done me.
My initial reaction was that they're a bit harder. I think the producers have been getting a bit touchy because we've been accusing them of being too easy. but Hugh sounded very confident, so maybe I'm off. Bernabe is the only Argentinian in the league. 1-0 Kevens. You were in the right neck of the woods, sort of, Tony. You said Ajax, it was PSV Eindhoven. Hugh Kevens goes 2-0 up. He made it 3-0, Tony, with Keith Lasley, who's now the St Mirren COO. But there was life left in you.
Come back.
You knew that Saudi Arabia for Martin Boyle, but so did Hugh. You knew that Hibs was between Jim Leighton's two Aberdeen spells, but so did Hugh. And neither of you knew that Jamie Murphy plays for St Johnston. I thought you were going to get it right, Tony. Give me the Saint, but you went for the wrong one. So it's a 5-2 victory for Hugh Kevens, I'm afraid. Hard lines, Tony.
Humiliating loss.
Not at all. Not at all. Give it another go sometime, will you?
All the best, Tony.
Good man. Thanks very much, lads. All the best.
That was Tony in Bolton.
On fire.
Wow, see that celebration?
Fire.
That's a new one. That was more.
Beat me there.
So he usually goes for the point of the shot. That was the thumb, a player does that.
The thumbs to the.
I think
the old thumbs.
Yeah, the back of the shirt. I think that one is it. Drogba. I think that was the Drogba he was doing. Can you now picture this? Hugh Keevan's doing the Drogba celebration. Things you never thought you would see.
Played 2-1-2, Simon.
A good start. Yeah. A good start, Hugh.
Still only one pundit has lost this season, Hugh Keevan's.
Oh, is it me? Only one. I told you that second season, Simon.
You were good last season.
I was feeling
well.
A lot of pressure there when you were tossing that coin.
There we go. 01419511025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can Instagram. You can. Well, I probably won't see it if it's Facebook, let's be honest. Can you TikTok? Will producer Callum see it? No. Let's stick to Twitter. Some people do send me the odd Instagram message, which I occasionally get, but let's go Twitter before we make Hugh Keevan's head explode.
Oh no.
TikTok, are you on TikTok? I think you're on our TikTok, actually.
TikTok means clocks to me.
Yeah, I thought that. That was clocks, by the way. 01419511025. Stevie's a Celtic fan on the line. What's your point tonight, Stevie?
I watched the game last night, and I thought Rangers were far too conservative and safe, and USG could have been stood for a utterly slow game, to be honest. When you see the way Celtic play and the traps and all that, and I can sympathise with the Rangers fans' frustration. Celtic fans know exactly how this feels. We've had 4 years of this, and especially under Neil Lennon and Edward Lanyelieve and No Cairn, and you've got to really be up for these games right for the off, because if you don't, this is what can happen. You know, but I'm looking to the bigger picture. Should Rangers fail to qualify, whether it's this tie or the next tie, they'll be playing their league football on a Sunday, whereas Celtic will probably be playing most of their games on a Saturday. And if Celtic rock up at St Mirren or whatever and win 2 or 3 nil, and Rangers got a tricky trip to Dingwall or Tannadice or Tynecastle, this is added pressure that you don't need. On top of the missing out in the millions and the glory and da-da-da-da, this, I would say, would give a psychological advantage to the team playing the day before most weeks in a title race, which was usually quite close.
What do you make of that, Hugh? Because we've got our very own Marvin Bartley, who gave the most specific league title prediction I've ever heard, where he said that Celtic would win the league, but if Rangers made the Champions League, and they were both then playing on the same day, as Stevie says, he would even consider changing his mind. That's how much of an impact he thinks it has. Stevie, whether there's a bit of wishful thinking in there from a Celtic fan's perspective, agrees. What do you make of that?
I hear Ange Postecoglou in my head, and I hear Ange saying the only thing that will affect Celtic and the retention of the title will be Celtic. It won't be when Rangers play. It will have nothing to do with any other factor.
But are they not? They're indivisible, aren't they?
Well, for me, I go back to last season, 32 games, none of them lost by Celtic. Consistency won Celtic the league. And again, I go back to what Ange Postecoglou said at the weekend. He's not cutting anyone any slack. No, oh, it was only the first day of the season, we'll get better. He said the season has started, and that's the attitude he will take all season.
I know, but I think Stevie's making this about Rangers. Let me phrase it a different way then. If you gave every Rangers player the choice to play on the same day as Celtic or the day after Celtic, what would they choose? Or does it not matter?
Not for me. No? I see the other side of Stevie's coin. What if Celtic blow it somewhere on the Saturday, Rangers are boosted, wherever they're going, on the Sunday. The only thing, Stevie, that will affect Celtic is Celtic.
Simon, if you were a player, would you rather play on Saturday and have your opponents catch up, or does it not matter?
I don't think it really matters. I think what Hugh's saying there about the consistency with Celtic, we debated this towards the end of last season with Rangers in the European run. Did that affect them? Rangers fans will probably say yes, but the consistency of Celtic,
it would be six times between now and Christmas, though, wouldn't it? Rather than those kind of one-offs at the end of the season.
Yeah, but Celtic were pretty relentless in their results, and it all for me stemmed in the transfer window at January when they brought the guys in. It just gave Celtic another little boost to kick on. But fans will be fans. We'll debate whether it's an advantage or a disadvantage over everything. But I agree with his initial point that Rangers too safe last night. Too safe when it was on to maybe play it forward and go and try and create. They opted for the side or the easy option, and it just wasn't good enough.
Whether they're valid or not, Hugh, it does just show you how many different discussion points come out of the Champions League, because Stevie threw them in there at the end as if they were small things. I'm sure he knows they're not, but the money, obviously. You want the millions, you don't want to miss out. Now Rangers have at least cracked open that player trading model this year, so it might not be as disastrous, but you would still want the Champions League money, obviously. That's before we get to bragging rights. We're in the Champions League and you're not. Now we're talking about scheduling. How much does it actually influence the way the title race plays out?
Rangers are looking for self-sustainability, and that comes with the £40 million they've taken in, and Nathan Patterson and Joe Aribo and Calvin Bassey. They wouldn't mind the same amount of money through qualification for the Champions League, so of course it's vital in the financial sense. But I would also say to Stevie, Celtic are in the Champions League and they went out of three European competitions last season. Celtic have to start being a proper club in Europe again. So if you're being turned over in the Champions League in midweek, that affects your confidence going into the Saturday game.
What do you think, Stevie?
Take Hugh's point. Personally, I think most Celtic fans will settle for third place and drop into the Europa League. I don't think we'll have any fancy notions about getting a group, because you're going to get two superpowers, and it might be the way Ange plays basketball, 5-0, 6-3 and all that. My point is, James Tavernier is on record as saying that the Rangers team as a whole are mentally fragile and can't really handle it when the pressure's on. That's where I'm coming from.
I mean, I get the reference, obviously, those programme notes, but yeah. When you say James Tavernier's on record as saying Rangers are mentally fragile, bit strong, isn't it? I'm not sure if we phoned him up right now and said, are Rangers mentally fragile, he would say yes. And for a start, it was a couple of years ago.
More than a couple of years ago.
Since then, they've won a league and got to a European final. Yeah. So,
I mean, quotes from the past can always be used in evidence against you, but they are from the past. A lot of water has flowed under the bridge since Tavernier said what he said. I think you have to be, first and foremost, if you're Stevie and the other Celtic fans, you have to be aware of your team and how they perform. You have to be aware of trying to juggle the Champions League with the domestic league. You have to be wary of psychological damage being done by the superpowers, as Stevie calls them, in the Champions League. There's plenty for Celtic to be going on with without bothering about whether Rangers playing a Sunday or not.
I'm going to tell Marvin Bartley that you think his theory is a lot of nonsense then. And the next time you meet up with him, I'll text him
tonight.
Get the Nokia out. I'm sure he'll take it well. You know he does. He's just shy, quiet, not confrontational in any way.
His messages back are always very kind.
Have I spoken to you since I spent the day at Livingston?
I heard what you had to say. You referred to Marvin Bartley as a beast.
Wow, honestly, the behaviour of the guy on the training field was eye-opening. Let's leave it at that. Thank you, Stevie. 0141 951 1025, and we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in Paul in the Merchant City. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gordon, how are you doing?
Not bad at all, you well?
I'm well.
Good man, what's your point tonight?
I'm now relocated back to the Clyde Valley, so I'm not in the
right,
city
get,
no more.
Get that updated. He is no longer Paul in the Merchant. The artist formerly known as Paul in the Merchant City. Anyway, what's your point, Paul?
A variation I've seen the last season, but I just don't know where all the optimism's coming from. You know, Rangers getting into a vital European game with five changes, with their two best players not yet signing contracts on a year left in their deals. Mm-hmm. And it's all, I mean, I heard before the game, really confident, but we're in a final, 60 days ago and all of that. And it's now, 2-0 down to a Belgian side that they may well pull through. But, as a Celtic fan, as a previous caller said, these games are fraught with danger. At least Rangers had the luxury of one league game under their belt before competing, whereas a lot of the time Celtic are going in cold without any league games. So I just didn't know why there wasn't more caution attached to the tie. I'm not, 2-0's not a disastrous result, but the whole fabric of where they are at the moment with Morelos and Kent is just, and I can't help thinking if it was, Edward and try to pick another, Lee Griffiths or whatever, it wouldn't be spun another way.
I'm a bit confused. Explain this to me, Paul. You think when Rangers fans are trying to assess how confident they are going into a European tie, you think they should put more emphasis on the fact that Ryan Kent hasn't signed a new contract than the fact that they made a Europa League final 68 days ago?
Well, if you frame it like that, maybe not. But what I'm saying is there should be more made of the fact that these guys haven't signed yet. And they've lost Bassey, and for whatever reason,
they lost them. To be fair, they got quite a lot of money for them.
Oh, they didn't get £40 million, and that's for sure. That's another narrative that we can discuss later. But
£40 million from three player sales, three, not Calvin Bassey, from three player sales.
Oh, and Paul actually is gone. I feel like I might be getting accused of cutting people off. That's twice, but I don't know where else he can call back.
I'm not quite sure.
This reminds me of last night though, because we did have a bit of an incident. Last night
I was listening.
Someone said something about Mark Wilson's, because I've had a lot of texts about that. Look at producer Callum. He's absolutely terrified. I'm not going to say exactly, but I get a lot of calls today. People say, what was said last night? There was a comment made about Mark Wilson's body. Sort of. What do I do? We should leave it there.
I think you should.
I'm not using that word. Are you joking? Paul is still on the line. I can't remember where we lost Paul. I think you were talking about the three players.
The £40 million comes from the sale of three players: Nathan Patterson, Aribo, and Bassey. Which, that's what Celtic and Rangers do. They cash in. Celtic have done it very, very well for years. Rangers are now playing catch up in that direction. Rangers went into a tie last night with every reason to believe that they would do reasonably well in Belgium. They did not play well. They lost 2-0. It could have been double that amount. They are still very much in the tie. End of story, Paul.
Paul, what the previous Celtic fan was talking about, scheduling and how much that might impact things if Rangers weren't to make the Champions League, and Celtic obviously will. Hugh and Simon not really buying it. What would your take on that be?
I think I would be cautious of Ange Ball being demoralised in Europe the same as Brendan Ball was. So I see this Champions League sojourn has been fraught with difficulty for Celtic, depending who they get. So, I mean, he can't honestly set up as open as we are. For Aberdeen to go through is quite easily a couple of times on Sunday, albeit it's great to watch. So that's going to be a fascinating. We certainly need a couple of holding midfield players and at least one anyway. I don't think James McCarthy is going to cut it. So I don't think it matters what day it is. I think it's going to matter more about his bottle, I suppose, with still a fairly young squad, which you made the point last year. So, you know, careers can be ruined on the back of drubbings of like 7-0s and all the rest of it. So I don't think the Ange ball can go can translate to the higher levels of the Champions League. So on the back of that, Hugh made the point that we're actually agreeing with each other that, you know, you can come back from a drubbing with tired legs, not having a lot of the ball. It doesn't matter whether you're playing a Saturday or a Sunday, that's got a negative effect.
Well, we're agreeing with you. That seems like a nice place to end it. Thank you, Paul. 01419511025. A teaser for the guys and more calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Lively show, as you would expect, in the company of Hugh Drogba-Kevins and Simon Donnelly. Pick up the phone, let us know what's on your mind, or tweet us at ClydeSSB. It's also the time where you two have to team up. You have to try your best to answer the following teaser, which has been sent in by a listener. That is the beauty of it. So Eddie in Bothwell has sent it in tonight, and he wants to know, there's a bit of a theme here, prior to Graham Alexander, can you name the last 7 managers who've left a Scottish Premiership job before the end of November in a season? That makes sense?
Uh-huh.
So similarly to Graham Alexander, so it doesn't count during the summer.
What's the date? End of November?
The end of November. So we're talking about into a new season, but didn't last beyond the end of November. They didn't have to be sacked, by the way.
Yeah.
They may have left of their own accord, but can you name the last 7 before Graham Alexander who left a Scottish Premiership job before the end of November into a new season?
Steve Cathro.
No.
Stevie G.
Yes, Stephen Gerrard. Well done. Was that October time? November?
Jack Ross.
No.
Ooh.
Brendan Rodgers.
No. Oh, that was a lot later in the season, wasn't it? Stephen Gerrard. Pretty tough, you know.
Stephen Robinson.
No. I had an interesting look through these, you know, when we were checking it out. Quite common to, you know, get maybe December, January, but it's not that common.
Did Robbie Nielsen leave Hearts?
No.
First time around.
No. So the only thing that's it's too far back anyway. He sort of hit the post. He left Dundee United. He left Hearts for Dundee United. They got it right the first time. He left Dundee United for Hearts in the summer.
Right.
But so that doesn't count. Your colleague Stephen Mill has got one straight away. Not that that helps you. Just thought you might like to know.
How many is there? 7.
There's only 7. So you've got 1 down, 6 to get. Okay, I'll leave it with you. You can chip in out there. I can hear you shouting at the radio. Send me a message. I'll give you a mention. Speaking of mentions, I can't believe this. We've got Alan who wants a shout out for getting a hole-in-one at Cathkin Braes Golf Club yesterday. Hugh, unfortunately we don't do shout outs, so we can't mention that.
They tell me Cathkin Braes is easy.
I think, is that
fantastic,
not a
course?
Is that not
home
a
course, Hugh? Fantastic course.
It doesn't count if it's on mini golf, does it?
No. Is that a pitch and putt?
Alan, have a word to yourself. Come on. Well done, Alan. In all seriousness, well done. I'm sure you'll be delighted. Dining out on it for ages, I'm sure. That's your home track, is it not?
It certainly is. And he's a very good golfer. I play with him regularly.
You know, Alan, do you?
So
right,
I seen it on the group text last night. Home one at hole 11, I believe.
There we go. Hope he got the drinks in.
Well, it wouldn't have been as expensive as your Loch Lomond thing that you were
doing. I didn't get it. It was a near. Do you want to see if I've got it all sussed out? Last hole in one I got. I see that keyword there. Last to prove that I've had more than one during lockdown. Clubhouse shut.
Perfect timing.
Couldn't possibly. I would have loved to. You couldn't possibly. Anyway, right, I'll leave that teaser with you. Looking for the last 7 managers who've left or been relieved of their position before the end of November in the Scottish Premiership. You've got Stevie G, and that's your lot so far. Let's bring in Frank, who's a Rangers fan. What stood out for you last night, Frank?
Just the lack of total professionalism. It's as if they had taken this team for granted. They were going to beat them, and that was the end of it. I mean, it's totally unacceptable, the performance. And next week when they play Ibrox, you can be sure the Rangers supporters will not accept this at Ibrox. So it's their job to retrieve the situation. Now, I don't think this team are a great team, and I think they might fold at Ibrox. But to be 2 goals down
against a team who hadn't been in Europe at all. It's as if they were just going through the motions. Totally unacceptable.
I mean, Hugh, I feel like unprofessional, taking the team lightly, are those the same thing, or is there a key difference between those things? How will we even know if that was the case?
Exactly. How do you prove that? You could have a go at amateur psychology and say that, you know, having been to the European final 68 days ago, they approached the match in a less determined fashion than might have been the case. However, I come back to the point that they went there, they should have done much better, they did not. That's the story of football. Sometimes what you should be doing and what you actually do are two entirely different things. However, as Graham Alexander said after losing to Sligo Rovers at home, it's only half time. Unfortunately for Graham Alexander, it got worse in the second half. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst can't have that.
We can speculate, though. Although I've said it's very difficult to prove, people will always come to those types of conclusions about, you know, underestimating. Was that something you saw, Simon?
No, I don't think they underestimated Union at all, really. I just think for whatever reason Rangers couldn't get going on the night. And again, hindsight, you're looking at the three midfielders, probably similar. You were looking maybe for somebody in there to link between the midfield and the strikers. The strikers didn't offer much at all in the game. And it was, I keep going back to it, it was a very flat performance. But you would expect at Ibrox in 6 days' time, you know, with a full support behind them, you'd expect a reaction. And I think a few changes in the team lineup as well.
Frank, the scattergun has been out on the show. John McLaughlin is getting it, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst getting it, some of the new signings. Anything that stood out for you? Any blame you wish to send out there?
Well, the same old mistakes are being made. The same performances are being put out onto the park. Barisic has finished at Ibrox. That's my opinion. He's finished. They need to sell him. I think they've got the replacement in the Turkish boy. That's fair enough. But they need to bring in someone up front. I mean, Simon was talking about the forwards. Rangers don't have a forward just now because Morelis is out. Roof's on, it looks as though he wants it. I would go for Martin Boyle. I would go for Martin Boyle to stir it up front. I don't care who he plays for, whether it was Hibs, whether he came for Celtic, anywhere. That kind of thing doesn't bother me. Get the boy in or get someone up front who can stir it up.
Well, I mean, interesting, because we're talking about Martin Boyle potentially coming back to Hibs. It's just a name Frank wants to see. Was quite interested in his assessment of Borna Barisic, uh-huh. Hugh. He did seem to be getting quite a lot of criticism last night.
Yilmaz came on for Barisic, and I think that might be the way it will stay now. Rangers have paid a lot of money for Yilmaz, and I think he's the future, and Barisic may be the past.
Borna Barisic has been a constant intriguing one at Rangers, Simon, because didn't start brilliant. Everyone knows the story. It's the free kick at Love Street. Love Street, not called that anymore. Old habits. Against St Mirren, that seemed to ignite something. The title winning season, very good. Then last season, not so much. And Calvin Bassey played a lot. And then there was that night at Celtic Park, which was maybe the low point. By all accounts, looking pretty good in pre-season. Rangers fans were excited to see if it was back to that former version. And already he's getting some stick this season. How do you look at him?
I quite like the guy, but I think he does blow hot and cold. And I think the fans are kind of hot and cold with him at times as well. The fact that they've brought this Turkish left-back in suggests, as Hugh says, that might be the way forward for Rangers. But you're going to pick holes and criticise most of the team after a performance like last night. He's made a mistake at Livingston at the weekend as well. And the pressure's on. I think that might be a change. As I said, next week, I think this team will be totally different next week in terms of personnel.
Frank, can you turn it round?
I think we can turn it round, but the attitude's got to change. The attitude was last night, it just wasn't acceptable. I mean, there's big money at stake here. There's prestige at stake. Don't get me wrong. I don't expect to go into the European Cup and expect to do really well because it's a different level. And there's part of me actually would settle for the UEFA the cup they won last season because that's our level just now. And although I would like to maybe qualify to see the opposition and see real good teams at Ibrox and enjoy that, I don't expect us to do very well in the European Cup. So being in the European Cup or the Cup Winners' Cup is immaterial to me. The important thing is they show the right attitude, and last night they just didn't do it.
I get everything's doom and gloom, Hugh, and the Champions League is a completely different kettle of fish for our teams. We know that once you're in there, you're in with some absolute heavyweights. But if you've got to a Europa League final last season and disposed of some pretty strong teams along the way, you can grudge the aspiration to have a crack at the Champions League next season.
I think Frank's attitude is a defeatist attitude. I think that fans want to see Real Madrid or Manchester City or whoever, Liverpool, anyone you care to mention, they want to see them at Ibrox and Celtic Park. You have to go and show ambition, and I think that Celtic and Rangers will attempt to do that. Of course, they then become what other teams are to them in the domestic league. You then come up against clubs with a monumental budget who can afford to buy £50 million players.
And the rest.
Erling Haaland may be knocking on your door one night. That's fine. You have to go along with that and
you
take the thrill out
of it.
You
want to be there though, Hugh, don't you? You want to be in the top
tournament
and go and, as one of the callers said there, if Celtic finished third, he would deem that as success in the group. You want them to go and give a good account of themselves, but ultimately you want to be there. And Rangers' form in Europe in the last two or three seasons suggests that they are good enough. What I'm looking at here, the now Aribo, Rangers' best player for the first half of last season.
Yep.
Bassey, arguably their best, with Lundstrom for the second half. They're away now, so the new guys need to step up to the plate as well.
Yeah.
They have to come in and have a positive impact. The same as kind of Celtic's recruitment last year.
We had a caller towards the end of last season when it was very obvious that Celtic were going to be champions, who said, Rangers fan, who said, Celtic will not get a point in the Champions League group. Now, that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
I think he's wrong, but you've got to go in there and see how the Matt O'Reilly's
also,
and the
Real
Atati's fair.
Also very dependent on the draw. I mean,
yeah, of course it is. But you want to be there. That's what players want. Celtic and Rangers, they want to be there. The fans want to go and see these teams. You don't want to be getting scudded 6-0 at a Paris Saint-Germain. You want to go and give a good account of yourself. But that's where these teams want to be.
Any more on this teaser then? Can you name the last seven managers who've left a Premiership job before the end of November into a new season? This is before Graham Alexander, we should say. You've got Steven Gerrard.
Pedro Castagna?
No.
Mark Warburton?
No more from Celtic or Rangers.
Oh.
That's not to say some of them don't have an association with Celtic or Rangers.
John Hughes?
Nope.
Lenny at Hibs?
Nope. Remember, November's early. November is early.
Struggling.
There are two of these from, in fact, there are a couple of clubs that are represented twice. You've only got six answers left, and there are two clubs, I think, represented twice.
Right, who's trigger happy? Any Aberdeens in there?
No Aberdeens in there.
Kenny Miller.
Kenny Miller, friend of the show. He, of course, left very early, the job at Livingston.
Four games, I think he lasted.
Okay, you're on the right track. Let's bring in Frank, who's a Rangers fan. Talk to us, Frank. How are you feeling after last night? Oh, John, sorry. Frank's been on. My apologies. It's been a long night. John, take it away.
Hi, guys. Good evening. Thanks for having us on again. Look, just touching on the game last night. I'm a Rangers fan, obviously. I'm not going to start slaughtering the club and the players. But last night was completely, really, really disappointing. We were kind of all over the place. No service up to the big man. There was no service up to the big man against Livingston. There was no service to him last night either. And touching back on last season, you had guys like Aribo, who was a bit of a playmaker with the ball. He created things. He got his moving. We didn't have that last night. We badly missed that. We didn't have Kent out injured. Morelos, badly missed that. Bassey, badly missed that. You were touching on earlier on. Simon's just said there, before I come on, regarding guys have got to step up the mark. Absolutely. And we need to step up the mark quick style, because we can't afford to be getting beat like that in the next couple of weeks, so the heads will get really down. So that was a bit concerning. But we'll return the tie. If we can score an early goal, get Morelos fit, get Kent back in. But I think Vanny Van Bronckhorst has got to have a real good look at the team to see where he is, because I don't think he knows his team at the moment with certain players out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I wonder on Čolak, John, how problematic, if you, in your assessment, you know, the chance creation for him's not there, how difficult is that when ultimately he's been judged against a guy who sort of makes his own chaos and creates his own chances in Alfredo Morelos?
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, you know, we all know we badly miss Morelos. He gives us so much. He's strengthened the ball. He works the line. You know, he sticks his backside out. He creates goals. He scores. We're just really lacking. You know, the heads look down. We just wanted to get the ball flowing. Ryan Jack looks unfit. Kamara looks burnt out, in my opinion. Tavernier's kind of a bit head down. Goldston's head was down. Now, the touchback on that penalty, the marking was even horrendous before. Now, the VAR, some will go for it, some will against it. So I'm not going to turn around and say, you know, it was a shocking decision, but part and parcel of that was the marking was absolutely shocking to get them in that position. That one of the callers was kind of slaughtering McLaughlin. If it hadn't been for him, we might have been coming away from that tie 5-5 down. Because although he was maybe a bit dubious for the first one, he saved about 3 good saves. As I say, that was 2 going on 5 last night.
So no concern there for you. You think, you know, is John McLaughlin the number one and he's going to stay there and so on?
I think we've got to stick by the boy, and he's long overdue, giving him a chance. He's probably learnt a lot from McGregor and the coaching staff there. So, yeah, I'm not going to be here to say, look, get McLaughlin out, because he was a bit dubious for that first one. Yeah, we need to stick by him. But overall, set up for the team, I think the you know, these new players have to come in, and I think Vanny Van Bronckhorst has to look to see what set up he's going to do. There again, Arfield is on the bench. He came on against Livingston. You know what you get. It's what it says in the tin with Arfield. You know, you can have him in your team, and he'll bust the gut week in, week out, and can create goals. The only guy that looked as if he'd done something was Wright when he came on. Wright done more than 5 minutes with anybody in the Rangers jersey done. He looked as if he was wanting to get the ball down and run at players.
Same Scott Wright, though, that was taken off at the weekend, Hugh. So you're just, when you're trying to find that right balance.
I'm going back to my theory. Draws a disaster, defeats a catastrophe. Last night was not catastrophic. The Belgian team have still to go to Ibrox next Tuesday. The tie is anything but over.
Thank you, John. What about the last 7 managers, though, who have left or been relieved of their duties before the end of November in a Scottish Premiership season? You've got Steven Gerrard and Kenny Miller.
Martin Canning?
Nope.
Now, on the basis that Livy, we've already got Kenny Miller. Is there another Livy manager in there?
Oh, go on then. I'll admit it.
Paul Lambert?
No. Much more recently.
Another Livy manager.
Butchie?
No, much more recently. We're not going that far back for these last 7.
So it's the one before Martin, David Martindale?
Yes. Yes, it is.
If that makes it.
It should make it easier.
I know, it should.
He's been on the show a few times, you know.
In the studio?
Yes. Not sure if he was with you. He's also recently been... Here's a good fact for you.
Right.
He might have been the Livy manager, but when he was, he has a tattoo of another team on
Holt.
Him.
Gary Holt.
Or Kilmarnock tattoo.
Gary Holt. Right,
is there a Kilmarnock manager in
you there? Two need serious thinking time, and I'm going to give you it. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are still with us, not for too much longer though, so let's round a few things off. We've got the full time teaser. Can you name the last 7 managers who've left a Scottish Premiership job before the end of November in a new season? So this is prior to Graham Alexander. Steven Gerrard did it. Kenny Miller did it. Gary Holt did it.
Angelo Alessio?
No. Would you believe he lasted longer than that?
Did he?
He did. I think he was Decemberish time, was it? I think I looked that one up.
So we're still looking for
Four more.
Tommy Wright?
No. What about some of our so-called bigger clubs?
Dundee United.
Maybe even bigger. Don't want to upset producer Callum. Look at
his face. Look at his reaction. Oh,
Dundee.
Oh, now he's really done it.
Hearts and Hibs then.
Hearts and Hibs.
I didn't say that, but let's see what you've got. Well, the silence isn't good, I can say that for sure. You're not a great team, you two, if you don't mind me saying.
It's a tricky question. Hibs and Hearts.
Remember, we're not even going back that far. We've established that.
Hibs, who was the guy at Hibs?
The guy at Hibs, that sounds like you're on the right track.
England, English guy.
Oh,
I'm giving you clues, you finish it off.
Higginbottom.
Paul Higginbottom, yes, well done.
Set you up there and you finish it. Yeah.
Okay, are we done in the capital or is there more?
Hearts.
Okay.
Big guy.
Are you thinking Daniel Stendel?
Oh.
Don't think Daniel Stendel. Better known in these parts than Daniel Stendel.
Craig Levein.
Yes. Craig Levein. What's that, 5-2 to get? Do I think you'll get them without clues? Absolutely not, but that's neither here nor there. I'll help you along the way. If you like the sound of that and you want to hear your question used on the show, please do. We do this every night, so see what you can come up with and send it to fulltime@clyde1.com. Some interesting signing news today. Dundee United have signed Republic of Ireland international Jamie McGrath on a season long loan. You may remember him from his time at St Mirren. 17 goals in his last full season in the top flight up here. Went down to Wigan, didn't really work out, just a couple of league appearances as they won League One last season. And now he's signed for Dundee United. On the face of it, Hugh, if he can replicate that St Mirren form,
well,
a good one.
I've tipped Dundee United to finish fourth.
Me
behind,
too. I think I went fourth as
yeah,
well. Yeah,
and I'm even more convinced now because, as I say, I think Levitt's a terrific player. Harks, I like. We've got Stephen Fletcher there for experience, and now Jamie McGrath comes in.
And still got, you know, Charlie McGrew, Tony Watt, and the likes.
Yeah, I really think that Jack Ross is building a fine team there, so that's good business.
A wee bit unlucky to not get off to a great start at the weekend at Kilmarnock. I think late equaliser.
Ian Harkes didn't cover himself in glory, I suppose,
ball,
made life tough.
Yeah, I think I've predicted them fourth, I'm sure, as well. I think Dundee United will have a good season.
I know he was wanted for quite a while, wasn't he? About, but you know, in the past, linked with Aberdeen quite heavily, certainly, and so on. So, on the face of it, you'd have to imagine a good signing. And then the European adventure begins as well for Dundee United.
He's at Alkmaar tomorrow.
The qualifiers haven't been brilliant for our teams so far.
No, you'd have to say. You know, anything that comes out of Holland, I always show respect for. I just think there's a general strength about the teams from the Eredivisie. But Dundee United, it's a welcome return to good old times. And I think that Dundee United will do well at Tannadice. They might have to cling on for dear life in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think exciting times again. You know, go back to my childhood and all the famous European nights at Tannadice. So, you know, it captures the imagination of the fans. Producer Callum, are you going?
Yeah, oh, he's nodding going, furiously.
So, yeah, it'd be nice to see, as you say, the European exploits.
Sell out as well,
so
should
far
be a good occasion.
It'd be great for Dundee United.
Do you know that's a great thing about us now?
Get a good
here,
one.
The crowds are sensational. We had 130,000 people at our football at the weekend.
Great numbers.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a full house at Tynecastle on Sunday for the Edinburgh Derby. The crowd at Celtic Park on Saturday, the Tifo display, everything. I mean, it was just. There's a great feeling about our game at the moment, and long may it continue.
Never heard you say the word Tifo before.
No,
so there we are.
One of the grandkids told me what it's called.
And the other grandkid's got his Brighton season ticket for this season, has he?
Him and his dad got their season tickets for Brighton. They're jumping at the bit.
Where do they start, Hugh?
Well, they start at Man United this weekend, so we'll write that one off. But then the mighty...
Really? You never know.
Well,
didn't last season. A good result, did you not? I remember you celebrating in here one day.
Yeah, beat Liverpool Anfield last season.
Right, okay. Another one is Martin Boyle. We ended up inadvertently, or you know, accidentally going there because someone wanted him to sign for Rangers. But it looks like it could be back to Hibs.
Yeah, I think it will be back to Hibs. But, you know, he will really need to get up to speed in terms of fitness. But I think for all manner of reasons, domestic reasons, he's got, you know, wife and family, you know, and perhaps things have not worked out in Saudi Arabia, his team got relegated. I think he would relish a return to Easter Road, and the Hibs fans would certainly welcome him back with open arms.
Can't help but think, if you were to start a conversation, Simon, about the best players outside Celtic and Rangers in the last 5 years,
Martin Boyle.
He would be in the conversation. You would throw another, I'm sure.
He's definitely up there. At one point, I was suggesting Celtic should have had a wee shot with him, but Celtic obviously had players in those areas that he plays in, but he was, by a country mile,
electric,
Hibs' best player.
Let's hear from the Hibs manager on that, Lee Johnson, speaking about it.
We know all about Boyle, obviously. He's a good lad, good player. The club loved him. In terms of personality, but also in terms of his footballing ability. I would like to add another sort of forward player to the group, but it's a complex deal, and whether or not it's possible, I honestly don't know. But of course, if it was possible, we'd be very interested. Yeah, I think it's a maybe. I think it's I think there'd be a will to do it if it was possible, but like I say, we're not in control of it because it is another club's player at the moment, although obviously, if that was an option that could be explored, we'd be very keen to explore.
It would give the Hibs fans some boost, wouldn't it, Hugh? They got off to a winning start anyway, but there was the whole League Cup debacle, signing McGeady, and then he's injured. They maybe even needed more forward options anyway before that injury, so I can't think of many that would be more popular amongst the gettable ones, if you like.
I think Lee Johnson just gave a very long-winded answer there, meaning, yeah, it's happening, but I can't tell you too much. So I expect Martin Boyle to return to Easter Road. As the Hibs lack a cutting edge, once he gets up to speed in terms of his fitness, he will be a very welcome addition. And in fact, after Sunday, who knows, Hearts are going to Easter Road full of confidence. The need for a player intensifies if you don't win that derby match.
Can you name the last 7 managers who've left a Scottish Premiership job before the end of November into a new season? You've got Steven Gerrard, Kenny Miller, Gary Holt, Paul Heckenbottom, and you've also got Craig Levein, which means you've got 2 to get before the end of the show, which is in about a minute's time if you're lucky.
We need clues, don't we?
Yes.
Okay.
Dundee United in there?
No.
I'm not sure that.
There is a Dundee one, though. The
Dundee.
Right City.
There's a Dundee one.
James McPeak?
No, he lasted quite long, didn't he?
Dundee.
Former Rangers player, former Hearts player, former Dundee player, I think, and manager.
Oh, Rangers, Hearts and Dundee.
Out and about on the punditry circuit. Come on, come on.
Pathetic.
You want his initials?
Yes.
You want his starting?
Yes.
N.M.
Oh, Neil McCann.
Neil McCann. Not as that easy.
Oh.
And is it the last one? Right. Celtic player. Former Celtic player, former Hibs manager, but didn't last long at St Mirren. I give up with you two, honestly.
Stubbsy.
Alan Stubbsy. Just in the nick of time. Right, that was lively. We're back tomorrow for more of the same fun with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. So make sure you join us. Johnny Campbell's up next.